preacher gets to preach his message. And you've cut me short on time, so I just got to a quarter to one, right? Haggai. If you don't know where Haggai is, go to Matthew chapter 1 and go backwards. It's the third book from the book of Matthew. Last week we talked about consider your ways. Today I want to ask you, consider your work. We as Baptists are scared to talk about maybe considering our work, but you know what? When we're saved, we're created unto good works. Amen? So if you found Haggai, and you can, please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll try to keep in mind that this is Mother's Day. And I'll try to get the kids say that they fall asleep. Maybe I need to amp it up a little bit, you know, and just preach a little bit harder. But anyway, verse number 7. Chapter 1, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house is laid waste. Is this waste? That is waste, I'm sorry. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I will call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in their house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I do pray this morning that your spirit would stir us. Lord, we need it in America. We need it in our churches. We need it in God's people. It starts individually and grows into a corporate thing and comes into the church and starts gaining power. But Lord, until we're stirred to our spirit or stirred to obey the word of God, the work of God won't get done. So let's pray, Lord, that your spirit will stir us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I'll try to stay with time, but in the Christian life, a lot of people maybe have it confused, or maybe there's a lack of sacrifice or surrender, but to live for God takes work. Now, to get saved, it's free. Amen? It's faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That's free. You don't have to work for it. Amen? But once you're saved, you look at Ephesians chapter 2, you're created unto good works. Now again, us as Baptists, we get scared when we talk about works, but I'm here to tell you that until you get busy reading your Bible, praying for God to stir your heart, and the Holy Spirit comes in and reveals what you need to do, and you start doing it, you'll not experience God to a very great degree at all. And that's how that point usually goes across. You know why? Because it takes work to be a child of God. It takes work to serve the Lord. You don't have to amen it. I know it's the truth. Amen. It takes work. If you're going to work as a pastor, you got to be diligent to study the Word of God, and it takes work to pray. Y'all want to hear the truth about that? I know this is Mother's Day, but smile. I'm going to try to give you something that Haggai gave these people that stirred them to do the work of God. Do you want to work for God this morning, or do you not? a mumbling amen. Would you like to see souls saved? Oh, we're in on that, right? Would you like to work for the Lord? A little less. See, if you're going to see souls saved, you're going to see the church work and do the things of God, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to get in there and get busy. Or you won't see souls saved. You won't see discipleship in the church. You won't see young people getting energetic about the Word of God. See, Tim, that's about how it works. See, you start talking about work and everybody's like, well, I don't know. I'd rather play my video games. I'd rather go fishing. I'd rather go golfing. Have I stepped on anybody's toes this morning? I'd rather sit in my recliner. Hey, and just about everyone that I just named, I do all those also. But if you're going to work for God, you're going to have to get busy. You say, Rick, I got family. I got this, I got that. Hey, for where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also, right? I'm here to tell you that in the churches in America today, God's people don't work at the relationship that they have with God. They don't study the Word of God. They don't seek to spread the gospel as they should. Many Christians today, hear me and hear me very well, are Sunday morning AM Christians that are lazy about the work of God. And that's the truth. I used to be one of them lazy AM Sunday morning people. I can reflect back and tell you, I can understand your vision. You can say, well, I'm not the preacher. Well, that's good. There's only one for most churches. Some have associate pastors. I get that. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I get that. But I can remember when God was stirring my heart. I'd already taught a class. You've heard my story on this. You probably get tired of hearing. I'd taught a Sunday school class for 7, 8, 9 years. I don't remember how long it was. I love my kids. God said, give that Sunday school class up. And I sat in the men's Bible study, and I didn't get to do nothing. You said, well, Rick, you probably quit working then, didn't you? No. And you've heard my story about the second or third pew, depending on how many people was there. And there for a while, we had so many people coming at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. I had to sit on the front row. And we set chairs out all around the building. And while Steve Meese is preaching, I'm praying, God, move on us. Move on a lost soul. And I'm telling you, that fervor and that desire, I don't think it's in most of God's people today. I would beg you to pray for me. I don't have excellent words. I'm not a powerful speaker, but I'm here to tell you, I don't need you to pat me on the back. Don't do that. Pray to the God of heaven that the Spirit of God would move in me and we would see God do the work through the message of God, not through the preacher. See, what I'm trying to tell you, folks, you can work even when you ain't got a position in the church. I mean, I'd be praying, and I could almost sense when God was getting ready to, somebody come to the altar, instead of going, well, I wonder what they're up there for, man. They must have done something wrong. See, I've heard people at our church say that. They'd say something utterly ridiculous, like, Brother Rick, I was going to come to the altar, but I was afraid what people would think. And I know what you're thinking. That's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. I would hate to think what God thinks when He's calling you to the altar and you don't go. I'd be more worried about God than I would be people, right? Because I've heard the opinions of people. Sometimes they don't work out so good. I'll give you an example, and I don't think Brother Denny will care at all. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Denny was back there talking. We're just casually talking. He said, well, Brother Stump, he said, I've been telling people we're about to lose our pastor to Belize. I went, what? He said, oh, yeah. He said, we can just sense that you're getting ready to go to Belize and help Brother Steve. I was like, Brother Denny, I said, I haven't felt the Lord's leading to leave for Belize yet. And if you've heard that rumor, it's wrong. I love Belize, and I love Brother Steve, and I love the people of Belize, but I don't feel like God is sending me there. My job is here. Now, when God starts stirring my heart to go somewhere, I hopefully will be obedient and go. But I actually think that it would be easier to work in Belize than it would be to work here in America. I think there's more good soul in Belize than there is here. Because we are so indoctrinated in religion. A lot of people think if I go to church and I give a little bit in the plate, I can go home and Jesus will leave me alone. Some of those people may not be saved. And if they are, they're backslidden and they're in sin. Happy Mother's Day, Brother Rick. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, I praise God for mothers, I do, but I'm here to tell you, folks, this is probably a more important message for God's people. If you're going to do something for the Lord, it's going to take work. If you're going to work in Awana's Wednesday night program and you're going to have to deal with kids that sometimes get on your very last nerve. Yeah, see, they'll say it. Or they'll call you and say, Brother Rick or Brother Randy, we're coming. Come pick us up. You pull the driveway and they come up and go. They come back and they don't come. And what do we do the next time they tell us we're going to go? Hey, he didn't show up. We go pick him up, right? Hey, you know, I mean, that's just normal. And hey, that happens. But we had to keep working, keep busy. You say, I'm tired when I show up. I get that. Before I surrendered to preach, folks, I never understood the spiritual burden that a pastor would take on. And I'm not complaining. I'm just here to tell you it's more taxing than you'll ever understand on your own. Now, a few things before I get run out of town for time. I got to talk with you. Last week, we talked about Haggai. And I guess you can chalk up my first 5 or 10 minutes to chasing rabbits if you want to. But last week, we talked about the temple and the tabernacle. And that's where the people in Israel, the Hebrew people, met with God. That's how we got to Haggai. We've seen that the temple got destroyed in 586 B.C. by the Assyrian army, and the walls and the temples tore down, and then Darius came in and made a decree, and they came back and they laid the foundation. There's a 15-year period there where they stopped working, and this is where Haggai comes in. And last week he says, is it time, in verse 4, for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house is laid waste? In other words, are you going to sit in your comfort of your house while the house of God needs the work? Now, we talked a little bit last week about the temple. That's how they met with God. And how do we meet with God? And I mentioned this just a little bit. How do we meet with God? It's through the church for the most part. And we can meet with God. You can have a Bible study at your home. You can meet with God. But God has only empowered one institution in this world to do his work. And what is that, church? It's the church. It is a given fact. Now, we know we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can lead people to the Lord without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But the church as an entity is empowered as a whole to do the work of spreading the gospel. My question is, have you joined with the church? Have you been baptized and say, hey, I want to be part of that empowered part that's going to spread the gospel? If not, you haven't got hooked up. You have missed. Oh, you may be saved on your way to heaven. You got the indwelling Holy Spirit, but you haven't plugged in to the power source of the body of Christ that is taught throughout the book of Acts. Secondly, if you are you engaged? Now, as a member and pastor of Bradley's Pleasure Baptist Church, I hear from time to time somebody say, oh, I wish the church would, and they maybe name a couple of things. And my first thought is you should come to business meeting. But I know that doesn't work too good because people frown on that. But I'm here to tell you in an open forum, that way I'm not talking to anybody specifically, and I'm not thinking of anybody, Brother Harvey, specifically. If you'd like to see the church do something, come to business meeting and ask the church, hey, it would be great if we would do this. Present it. And if it's something that's really big, we'll pray about it. If it's something that you've already feel led, you make a motion and see if God stirs somebody else to say second, and we'll have a discussion about it. And that's Robert's rule of order, right? And then we'll vote on it. Okay? And I know this goes over like a lead balloon. But there are people out there today, folks, that are, they're playing the Lone Ranger. They're saved. They're not affiliated with any church. And if they are, I had a guy that I taught at school, Cumberland Baptist Institute. He goes to a church faithfully. But he's a member of another church that he got baptized in some 50 years ago. And I looked at him, and he'd been coming to school for 3 or 4 years, and I didn't even find out about it until about January. I said, you have got to be kidding me. You've been going to that church under that pastor, and I'm sure he's asked you and told you, and you haven't joined that body. You're a member of this other church? He said, yeah. I'm just scared to walk forward. And I'm like, whoa. He said, what do you mean, whoa, Brother Rick? I said, I'd be scared of that. He said, what's to be scared of? I said, you're out there without a church body, brother. You're out there without any support. And he's like, well, I got baptized fully on the baptism. Uh-oh. Hey, the baptism should be scriptural. I get that. And we believe in scriptural baptism as fundamental independent Baptist church. Yes, we do. But if you get baptized at Church A in 1974 and in 2019 you're at another church and you have never walked the aisle and said, I want to join this church, and they said, well, you got to get rebaptized or we'll take you by letter, either one. Hey, I'd be worried about that because you're not joined to that body. Happy Mother's Day. Now you can look, I won't share the verses, but as you can tell, the first point this morning, it takes work to build your temple. And I guess I could go to one or two places. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We should have started church at 10:30 this morning. I might have been all right, but I don't know. We're good, though. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. I just want to share with you. Says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwell in you? Now, if you will just turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 6, which is just a page or so, in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Did you get that? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify, get that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, back over in Haggai, I'll go to my second part. I want to ask you this morning, have you considered your work? Have you considered your work? What are we supposed to do? Well, I'm the temple of God. I need to have the Word of God inputted into my life. That means I need to diet on it daily. Brother Steve said last week, Brother Don said last week, diet. Y'all like this. He said, I never thought of it, but the first three words are die. That's probably why I've never went on a diet. Because I was afraid I'd die if I went on a diet. But anyway, we need a steady diet of the Word of God. And again, you don't have to amen that. But if you are not reading your Bible at least 2, 3, 4 times a day, and I'm not talking about reading your Sunday school lesson, I've heard that before too, you are a weak, powerless Christian. Happy Mother's Day. I'm here to tell you, if you don't feed on the Word of God, you are a weak Christian, and you're powerless. Again, happy Mother's Day. I'm just telling you. Second point this morning, to do the work of God, you must obey the Word of God. Now look at verse number 8. This is so practical, so elementary. We're not doing a verse-by-verse or an expository study of Haggai. We're just bringing his message out. It says, go up to the mountain. This is how you do work. All right, ready? You go up to the mountain, right? You got to go to the place where the supply is. Look at the next thing. Bring wood. In other words, cut you some trees down. So we go to where the supply is, and we go and we get the supply, and then it says, build the house. Did y'all get that? I almost named this message, build the house. But I like consider your work better. Because I want you this morning, Hey, remember what Haggai is. He is a messenger that come to do three things. Anybody remember? Challenge, encourage, and exhort the people to do what? Build the temple. This morning, my message is simple. Have you considered your work, your temple, your church? Have you considered that? Are you working on it? Do you care? Sobering, folks. And I brought the illustration last week, and I thought about this week, and I don't think of my illustrations, Brother Bill, sometimes it's good illustration, but maybe it was a pretty good illustration. Have you thought about what the world would be like without the church? I mean, you just minus the church out of your community, out of your state, out of your country, just minus it out and tell me what it's going to be like. I mean, first just think of the physical aspect. The physical aspect is that this church gives not an exorbitant amount, but we give quite a bit of money to different charities and different places to help them. Right? We also support missionaries, which do what? Get out the gospel, right? And then we fellowship with one another, hopefully getting closer to the Lord and growing in our faith. And strengthen us. Think if you just took all that out. And I know what some of you kids and some of you people might be saying. I wouldn't have to go to church then. That's the answer to a prayer, Lord. I know there's a couple of y'all probably thinking that. I can make it. Think about a second thing. Think about if the Word of God was gone. No Bible. We get to hear it on the radio. Nobody's got it in their memory. Just take the Bible just completely away. You'd be living in Mongolia. That's why when they had their church service, folks, if you read that letter, they had their church service and all the members are there and they got this big stack of Bibles and they would go, I'm just going to pretend here for a second. And they would go, so-and-so, come get your Bible. And they come up and they just, thank you. They go back crying. And, I mean, they were humble because they had a Bible. We take a Bible and throw it down so I don't want to see it until next week. I got to carry it to church. Why is that? Because we're not building our temple. Amen, Brother Rick. You know, if you agree with me, you're supposed to say, if you feel like this world is neglecting the Word of God, you should say amen. But you know what the second thing is? You should get in it and see what you need to obey. Have you considered your work this morning? Have you considered going to the mountain and seeking God's face and seeing what is it you want me to do, Lord? That's what happened here. Hey, guys, message is simple. Go to the mountain, get wood, and build. But look what he says again there in verse 8, and that's we'll move on to our last point. And I will take pleasure in it. And also, I will be glorified. So if you take that thought in your mind, if you go to the mountain, you get the stuff and you start building. God says, I'll be pleased with that. I'll be glorified with that. Just flip that around and say what the opposite of that is. If you don't go to the mountain, if you don't get the wood and you don't build, what is he? He's not pleased. Or you could even say displeased. And you could also say he's not glorified. He's de-glorified, right? Happy Mother's Day. See, look in verse 12. We're closer to the end than you think. About midway of that verse, and said, with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. in the words of Haggai the prophet. See, my job this morning is not to coerce you to say yes. My job is to just present the message this morning. If God has spoke to you this morning already, you say, I've heard from God. He spoke to me. I felt conviction about something. You need to obey that. You need to obey the voice of God, not the voice of the preacher, not the voice of the Sunday school teacher. It goes on to say, as the Lord their God has sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Have you considered your work this morning? Last thing I want to talk to you about, the work of your temple is a spiritual work. This will be my shortest point, but it will be probably the most important part. Many of you are sitting here today, you may be saved and on your way to heaven, and you're good people. That's a perfect place for y'all to say amen. In other words, when I say something you agree with, say amen, and y'all are good people. All right, see, that's easy, right? But I think most of y'all are good people. I think I'm a good person. I'm not a perfect person, and y'all ain't perfect either because I see y'all. My tie's probably a little crooked or something. But anyway, a lot of y'all are good people. And you're good moral people. But you know what? Good people and moral people are not always considered to be in the will of God. Now, wait a minute, Brother Rick. I'm at church on time. I sit in the same pew every week. I bring my Bible every week. I'm a good person. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean you're doing the will of God. Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road. See, the messenger has came this morning, and I'm not Haggai, but I'm telling you, in the book of Haggai, he come and delivered his message. And Danny, when you deliver the message, you just deliver it and let it. But I just want to tell you, most of y'all are good people. But you know what? I think back there in Jerusalem, most of them people was good people. I really do think most of them good people, but they weren't in the will of God. Why? Because God had sent them, and we didn't go into all that last week, and we won't this week. God had sent them to rebuild the temple. They built the foundation, and they stopped. What was their job now? Hey, guys, trying to urge them. Challenge them, encourage them, exhort them to get back in the will of God. Get started again. But it has to be a spiritual work. See, for me to surrender to preach, if I say, hey, man, I can speak so good, I can preach, that won't get the job done. And if you've heard me speak for any amount of time, you say, you're right, Brother Rick, that don't get the job done. You can amen that. I don't mind. But I'm here to tell you, our physical body, our resources, folks, must be given over to the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, it must be given over. There needs to be something within you that's driving you. And you don't, hey, let me put something out there. You don't always have to agree with what you're feeling God is leading you to do. Because I can agree with that. When God was calling me to preach, I'm like, you have made a mistake here, Lord. And as I've told you, that phone call to my sister, when I told her, I said, the Lord's called me to preach. Or I think, no, I said, I think the Lord's called me to preach. Joy. 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 Are you there? Wow. That was Jerry, that's about it. And I told her, I feel the same way. Hey, the one time me and my sister agreed, right there. But I'm here to tell you, look at verse 14, we're done. And the Lord stirred up the spirit. Of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and look at this, the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Now I want to ask you a question. Now, we're, like I said, I'm bringing it in for a landing. I'm going to ask Lance, or our piano player, and Brother Harvey, and the organist to come on. Have you thought about this? Jesus gave out the Great Commission before the empowerment came. Think about this. If God has spoken to you about something, it's not necessarily empowered by the Holy Spirit yet. Haggai delivered his message. The people seen it, and we've seen over there in verse 12, they're going to obey the voice of the Lord. Okay? So they got the message. They've read it. They're ready to obey. They're ready to move forward. What's left? The Holy Spirit pushes them into the deal. You say, I didn't think the Holy Spirit pushed. No, the Holy Spirit pushed in conviction. The Holy Spirit pushed in the power. When you got saved, there was something working in you. I, as a boy at 10 years old, would not have walked in front of our church at Lancaster Baptist Church to save my life. I wasn't scared to walk up there. I could throw airplanes from the balcony and think nobody would know it. And about the time my dad would take my ear off, I could do that. Your pastor did that. Would throw airplanes out the balcony at Lancaster Baptist and watch them. And they would usually nosedive. But one day I threw one and it really just did real good, Nick. And I said, that's going to make it to the preacher. It didn't make it to the preacher, but you know how close it got? Far enough for my daddy to see it land. And he's like, I didn't see the look, but I felt my ear in about 30 seconds. He grabbed it and twisted it and we went outside. And the fear of the Lord was on. This morning, I want to ask you, is God speaking to you? Are you ready to obey? And if you've heard those two elements, is the Holy Spirit drawing you this morning to make a decision that maybe you don't agree with? Maybe there's something you need to do this morning. I don't know. It's not up to me. Is God speaking to you? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for Haggai. He was sarcastic. He was blunt. But he showed how your word and your message, empowered by the Spirit, can get the work done. How much we need that today, including this preacher, including each and every one of us. We need to turn over our lives, our physical bodies, turn it over to the spiritual work of God. This invitation, Lord, is in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.